Hey guys, this is the Handmaid's Tale After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking death by pen, marital betrayals, and an excellent use of Kate Bush. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Handmaid's Tale After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking Season 3, Episode 11, Liars. We're going to get right into it, talk all about, you know, just the insanity that went down this episode, as well as our resist sister and our news. But first, I'm Adrienne Snow, and to my left is the wonderful, been here actually longer than me,
barely.
Veronica Barriga.
Hey guys, what's going on?
And to her left, always come at you with the truth, nothing but the truth, you can't handle the truth, Miss Lauren Hubbard.
Yes, also known as Lauren the Truth.
That too. I like to do all the truths. Okay. And to her left, the wonderful, been here, wasn't here last week, but now he's returned, Mr. Chef Beans.
Yes, Chef Beans with the mental cuisine.
Yes.
I love that, the prodigal son.
All right. Wow, the prodigal son. All right, so first thoughts.
It's the episode I've been waiting for. This is what I watched this show for. Mm-hmm. This is what I was like gravitating towards the TV for. I was like, yes, finally! Mm-hmm. It brought it back to the roots of the show, yeah. And I was so phenomenally happy.
Nice.
It was good. Yeah, I you know, it exactly, like a more of a traditional Handmaid's Tale where you're kind of like up, you're down, you're this, you're that. It took you on a ride this time. It wasn't stale. Ended with a big bang, you know. Yeah, I enjoyed it. One of the better ones. I mean, it took a long time to get here, but you know, it was good.
Sure. I just got one word for this episode: lit.
Lit.
And I'm ready to talk about it. That's it. I'm just ready to dive straight in.
That's good.
How do you feel about it, Adrienne?
Well, thank you for asking. No, I liked it. It was good. I had the misfortune of scrolling through my news feed as I was watching it, and then a title being like, now that Fred's been arrested. And I was like, what the?
Spoilers. Yeah, they got to do this. They have to say spoilers. But that.
You're talking like 9:30 at night. It only been on for 30 minutes. So, anywho. But overall, I really liked the episode. I really liked that they just kind of pushed things forward. I did have some like hang-ups about it, but we'll get into it. So let's just go right into it, and let's talk, break it down with Serena.
Ooh.
Serena.
Okay, so
Serena.
This was fantastic. You know, her journey's kind of been, I don't know, she's been the bullied wife, she's been the evil wife. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many colors with Serena and her storyline. But at the end of the day, she's a very intelligent woman.
Yeah.
And she's a very independent woman, despite her scenario. It seems that before Gilead, she was, you know, a sort of, independent, strong, you know, forceful character in the real world. And now she's pushed in here, and her true colors will, you know, will come out, I think, at the end of the day, and they did, and that was crazy to watch. I was not assuming that she would do that. It was a little bit of a surprise, but it was kind of crazy. I mean, at the end of the day, that the love for a child kind of transcends a lot of things.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was interesting how this is the first time we actually got to see the pinky without the little pinky glove. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got to see the rawness of her, and they had sex, I'm assuming, her and Fred. They didn't show it, but we saw the scenes lead up to it. Mm-hmm. We saw her drive a car, and we saw how she felt empowered, and she let the top down. You know what I mean? So it was kind of like she was getting her power back, but also possibly turning her husband in. We don't quite know how it got to that, but you just see like all these different sides of her in this one episode. Mm-hmm. You know, her vulnerable, her taking back some power, mm-hmm. and then also, you know, letting the desire to have her daughter back, mm-hmm. just kind of be like, well, bye, Fred, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was just great to see all three kind of parts of her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this episode definitely showed different layers of Serena. I think my favorite part was when she was having a conversation with Fred in the woods, kind of like, you know exactly who I was, you know, prior to this world. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a very great, like, monologue as far as her flashing her voice that she used to have. Like, you know the type of person I was. And then when he was like, well, if I did let you lead, then you would have probably left me. It was just a very vulnerable scene, but I really enjoyed it because this whole series, we basically see how they didn't have any power at all. And who's to say, like, this was a reflection of her seeing how everything else was a lie, because the episode was lies. So I feel like that was tied in to a lot of different things. So whatever Fred told her going into this world probably didn't add up to what she had thought it was going to be. So I really enjoyed Serena this episode.
Yeah, I think that it showed that she was savvier than even I was giving her credit for, because I was like, what are you doing? And then also it was a reminder that when they're outside of this world, Serena is the savvier one. She's the stronger one. She's the one who helped build the world. And he was kind of, like, I remember when she got shot and he was crying and she yelled at him about crying, like, don't cry. Like, if they show, you can't show weakness in this moment. Mm-hmm. And so for Serena to kind of claim that power, it also kind of rewrites all of what we saw from the previous episode when she's, like, consoling Eleanor after the ceremony. And that kind of, I was like, oh, okay, well, that kind of brings it to a different light, as well as the fact that she was playing him from jump. Like, if you go and you look at the preview for next week, it's very clear that she sold Fred out to get Nicole. And she did say, Yvonne Strabowski, in an interview, that the phone will be used to get Serena what she desires most. I just never thought that she would actually throw Fred under the bus. She's been so self-righteous and so, like, this is the world we chose and this is who we are.
Yeah.
And I think, I wish we had spent more time with her a little bit this season to kind of see, like, when that moment changed for her, when she decided that the best thing for Nicole isn't to come back to this world, but for Serena to join Canada or the regular world, as quote-unquote.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say,
I think Serena lost it, or her last straw was when she asked Fred, like, you know, what's going on with Nicole? And he was just kind of like, well, you know,
we're doing what we can.
I think at that moment, she was like, oh, no, I got to take matters into my own hands, you know? And they did a great job at kept, like, flashing, like, okay, so which world do you think is better for Nicole? This world, that? And you saw Serena just kind of like,
never answering, really.
That's right.
Well, yeah, because Serena was definitely on board with June taking Nicole, as long as they were both in Canada. It wasn't so much about, oh my gosh, I can't be with her right now. It was get her out this world and you stay with her, you raise her. And when June came back, that's when she was like, oh, hell nah. You left my baby over there by herself. And then I think that's when she was kind of like, I either have to get the baby back or I need to go. Something has to give.
Yeah, and I think also just spending time in the bigger universe of Gilead, like going to Washington, D.C., really changed her viewpoint on things. Like, even though the Winslows have the appearance of looking happy, you know, with all their kids, like, they still have a ring in their handmaid's mouth. They still have a handmaid, even though they don't really, like have no right to actually have one at this point. Like, there's supposed to be, I think, a cutoff to how many children you can have. Maybe I'm crazy.
Sure.
But there was I could be wrong, but there was something referenced briefly about, like, why do they still have a handmaid? Like,
right.
They have all these children.
And he might have been gay, you know? So it's like,
yeah, they pointed to that a little bit.
Yeah. Probably either bi or gay.
Curious, something.
They didn't really, we'll get to him, but it's very much like underwritten for Winslow and for Mr. Maloney. Yeah. But I did over. I'm sorry. Do you have something?
Sure. Thanks. No. I didn't know if you were. I didn't want. Okay. Before you move on, cool. You were saying earlier, to your point, I wrote it down. Yeah, it's not just so much that she turned Fred in. This is a big moment for her. Like, it's not as simple as turning your husband in. It's coming to the conclusion that this whole world that you've built is bullshit, right? Yeah. And is not good, not only for you, but for the future. And to your point, I wish they did take more time with her to have that realization of, like, okay, because it's a big moment. Mm-hmm. And it's almost turning your back to something. Well, it is turning your back to. It's bigger than just turning Fred in, is all I want to say.
Turning her back on her other child.
Her other child?
The baby she built. Gilead. Like, the world.
Oh, yeah. She helped build that world.
Yeah. Right.
It's true. It's like you're sacrificing. Like, there was an article about a pastor who wrote a very like homophobic, sexist book called "I Kissed Dating Goodbye." I don't know. Okay. Don't come after me. That's how they reference it in the articles I've read. But that he recently stopped being a Christian and had divorced his wife. And he just said, you know, we've grown apart because I could no longer, like, stand by the things I wrote in the book. And I'm just continuing the book. And
the real life Serena.
I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I'm not saying
version,
that, you know, in terms of having an organized religion, that you should just, you know, abandon it the moment you feel like you've lost touch with it. But I think if it's gotten to the point where you feel like it's negatively affecting the people around you and it's creating a world that is harming humans instead of lifting them up, then maybe you should consider, like, what you're taking out of your source material.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? So it was just kind of interesting to see Serena have that moment where I don't think she's decided to give up her belief system at all, but I think that the way that they've taken that belief system and put it out into the world is something that she no longer agrees with. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know. I think she is giving up on the belief system. I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't think she's giving up on Christianity. Because she still speaks.
I don't think she's giving up on Christianity, but the way they've changed it.
The way they've used it.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly how she thought it would be.
Yeah.
So I think she may have had it on a scale 5 and they blew it up to scale 50.
Yeah.
Right.
So she's turning
her back on
that.
That's a good way of putting
it. Yeah. And I think there was a really nice veiled moment when I went back and rewatched it where she's talking to Fred in the car and she goes, yeah, the Americans, you know, they think that we're not as smart as they are. And I was like, right. She's talking about the men.
But it was crazy because he said to her, he was like, I can give up the power. I don't need this. If you want this different life. And I'm like, what? Like, you guys are so up and down.
But that
was
a lie.
Like, what does that mean?
You think
it was a lie?
Yeah, I agree.
Huh. You think it was?
Just telling her what she wants
just
to hear.
Her what interesting. She wants but he was more emotional, I think, in this episode. And his emotions backfired on him because just driving with this random man that you don't even know into the woods. He probably just took Serena's word for, okay, I guess we'll follow this dude. And you see what situation it got him in. To where Serena, she's thinking more methodical. Like,
right.
You got my pinky. Like, the emotions are going towards him to me.
Yeah.
At least.
And it's kind of
that's true,
how could you do this to me? Like, she says that. And I think for Fred, when you're so used to being in power, after a certain point, you don't assume that anyone's
and you get comfortable. He was very comfortable in that situation. Like, my wife would never... You thought.
It's like you forgot who I was. That's what
exactly. A very strong, powerful, vocal, revolutionary type woman who clearly pulls some tricks out her back pocket. So,
damn, Serena. That was surprising, but it was cool when they arrived and she's like, relax, and she's all looking around, and I'm like, Serena did this.
Yeah,
Serena did this.
She did not look phased at all, and she even told Fred, she was like, do what they say, honey, it'll all be okay. And I'm like, why is she over here so calm, like,
right.
trying to play the,
you can arrest me.
Oh my gosh, what is happening?
They're not
right.
They're not handcuffing her.
They're
kind of pulling her, but it's like super gentle.
Exactly.
We're like, we know what's up. She's gonna go off and marry Mark Tuello.
Right? That's what I kind of think they're gonna get together, but that's predictions, anyways.
Yes. Well, any final thoughts on Serena before we move on? Anything from the chat before we move on?
Well, in the chat, they're just saying Serena revenge of Fred cutting off her pinky off. That's what Nice Slasher said. And a lot of people are just impressed with Serena, how she turned in Fred.
Yeah.
Someone earlier, which I can't find the comment, says Serena hit the reverse Uno card on Fred, like, got you.
That is an old
surprise.
Reverse. Bringing it back to the 90s and 80s. All right.
That was good.
Well, on that note, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the Handmaid's Tale After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
Thank you.
We always appreciate you coming in and chiming in on the chat or via YouTube or the Twitter or the Instagram or, you know, whatever is your preference
Snapchat.
Of social media.
No.
Snap?
No. We're not on the Snapchat.
I'm not on the Snap. I'm not on the Snapchat.
No.
But
all the other ones.
We just want to send out a quick thank you for letting us do our thing. Well,
all right. So, thank you, guys. Thank you for that intro. So, if you're watching us right now on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe if you haven't already done so. Give us a thumbs up. Leave a big, juicy comment in the words of Chef Beans. If you're listening to us on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, please. Also, leave a comment. And just make sure you tell your friends and family, because without you guys, we wouldn't be here talking about Handmaid's Tale and every other show that we love. Thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk After Buzz. We appreciate you guys so much. Subscribe, like, share, watch us. There's only a few episodes left, but yes, we love you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for watching is what we're trying to say.
Thank you. Two episodes left.
Thank you, guys.
As always, please interact, you know, however that you interact on the social media, the YouTube, the Live Journal, the Pen Pals, whatever is your method of interaction. All right, so let's get right into June.
The goods.
Well, he's like fired up. He's like, I see it. I see it in your eyes, Chef. You have something to say.
Well, Chef, let's start with you. Go right into it.
So, I feel like this whole season, I was very hard on June, you know? I didn't know what she was doing. She lost her marbles. Mm-hmm. I really didn't think she had any solid plan. But to see her just rise from a very low place warmed my heart a little bit, you know? Hmm. I must say.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I felt like she had a big responsibility in this episode. I mean, there were so many things that happened. You know, she basically saved Commander Lawrence's life in the opening scene where Mrs. Lawrence is pointing a gun at his head. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh gosh. Like, we all knew she was going to talk her down, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for her to be the savior, then a killer, and then, you know, she kind of had that meeting with the Marthas. And I was just like, girl, there was so much going on this episode, but I was happy to see her get back in the hang of things, too, because she was kind of going down, and I was like, ugh, I need you to get up and, like, get back in here, fight for Hannah, fight for somebody. So I was happy to see her come back into her normal character.
Cool. Yeah, I like June when she's focused, you know, and when she's channeling, because she's a whole lot of energy, she's a whole lot of fight, and it's hard to see her down in the dumps, but she is that girl that, like, gets right back up. But my favorite thing, I think, that this episode was, you know, there's a moment in June's life where she's like, I can get out. But instead of sort of being selfish about this, she's like, wait a minute, I can do good for other people.
Right.
And so there's a moment where if you're in that world, you have to really look at yourself and be like, all right, do I save myself or do I sort of sacrifice this for the better good of tomorrow or, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm an idealist. So this is just, it's fascinating for me to watch how she is willing to ultimately sacrifice everything. We don't know how this is going to end up. I mean, you know.
No, I really like that, though. I didn't think about that because we have seen her be selfish this entire season.
Yeah.
And now she's like, actually, I'm going to give up my seat on the bus so 50 kids can be free.
52, girl.
52. I forgot the two.
I know,
I'm sorry.
But it's so exciting.
But no, I do. I like that point.
Okay.
What are your thoughts, Adrian?
Shut it down, Adrian.
What do you think?
Yeah.
It's not that I disagree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just think that there's a difference between being hopeful and execution. So my biggest hang up with June is that she rushes into things and not really thinking them through. A lot of people have died because June rushes into things and doesn't think things through because she's impulsive and emotional at some points. And I'm not saying that you can't be emotional, but if those emotions are coming in a way where they're having a drastic effect on people to the point where people are snapping and killing people and then themselves dying, you need to consider that.
Well, I think the Marthas were considering that.
But I think with this, even now, when she goes to the Jezebels to kind of do the very thing that the Marthas asked her not to do. Do not intervene. Do not get in our way. We will poison you and throw you in a lake. Like, they straight up said that. Okay? Like, they are not
hardcore,
messing
the
with you. And they've already given her that chance once before. If, like, we were the ones who helped you get out the first time. Like, don't think it was, like, you had anything to do with it.
Sure.
So, I get frustrated with the show because there are moments where June should be caught or in some way penalized for things that she's done, and she always just seems to get out of it. Like, even with the death of Commander Winslow, how convenient that the very Martha who discovers the body is the one that you helped. Like, it's just kind of like...
But that's karma, too, though. I honestly believe in karma. That's you did some... You helped save somebody's life, and it's going to come back to you. Yeah. That is convenient, but okay. That could be karma.
I feel like almost any Martha in that situation, especially working with the Jezebels, would help clean it up. They're probably used to it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
They're probably used to all these stabbings in there.
Sure. It's also very dangerous for them to help her. That can't be denied as well, that's a danger for them. Not to say that they don't do it. We even know that Moira killed someone as a Jezebel. So clearly there is a system to discarding commander bodies. But at the same time, because of how things have gone along with June, and that, you know, she still has all of her digits intact, and all of her eyes, and her tongue, and,
you know, June go down, girl.
No, I'm just saying, like, when you think about it, all the other women have had such gruesome things happen to them. But and she's getting just minor always ones. Gets out of those
things. I feel like June has been, well, this whole season just kind of chilling. Like, I feel like she hasn't been in Gilead, so I do agree in that regard. But I feel like this whole episode, June kind of kept her cool in a sense, like she didn't go completely bonkers besides at the end. Like, it seemed like she was focused on, like, F this world. Like, I'm going to do whatever it takes, even if it takes me going into the bar. She was locked in. Yeah, locked in.
And did you see they had a furnace, incinerator? What is that called?
Furnace.
When they burn the body.
Incinerator.
That
was just a furnace, though.
Yeah, and I'm just like, they had this ready on hand.
It seemed like that might also
be for when commanders killed Jezebels, though.
It didn't seem like it was the first time they were moving a body. They were very coordinated. Mm-hmm. They were quick about it. There was something familiar about it.
It was a system.
Right? Yeah.
I need them on my cleanup team if I ever run into it. I'm just kidding.
But that Martha was... The Martha was having a good time cleaning up the blood, right? I mean, did you see the smile on her face? There was a satisfaction.
Right, I think when she was listening to Beyonce while he was cleaning up.
Who ruled the world? Who run the world?
Where is it located? Because isn't he supposed to be back in D.C.?
No, he's in Boston for a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
But one thought on what you said. I do think that they would have jumped in, the Marthas would have jumped in and backed up any handmaid, not just June, because June saved that girl from the colonies. I think that they don't want to mess up their system. So if they bring attention to commanders being killed, there might be extra security there. And, you know, they're doing things in the background as well. You know, the bartender, the whole flight. So they have to watch, you know, like a gang. Like, I think somebody said Martha Mafia. They got to cover their own tracks. So regardless whether it was to just help June or maybe just cover their own, you know what I mean? Like, am I explaining that right?
Disagreeing with that possibility, but I think because we've watched for 3 seasons.
Yeah, and she's never
For her to just, like, I'm not saying that June hasn't had a hard time in Gilead. Like, she definitely just got beaten by a man and had to stab him to death with a pin. And we'll just segue right into that. But I think that because she's doing these things and always just getting out of it and always just
she gets
it.
Away with murder, literally.
Yeah. She, I guess, like, you mean, but like, I mean, something as drastic as, like, a hand cut off or something.
Well, like, a pink something. At this point, getting away with murder is, like, a rite of passage
for her.
For all the handmaids. Mara, Emily, they all got away with murder.
I don't think you're the only one that feels that way. Yeah. I think,
No, I agree. I think I've even said that before on this show, that she should have gotten some type of...
Something.
Not that I want her to, but just it would make sense for her to get some type of promotion.
Everyone else is walking around, like, with parts of their body missing, or being dragged into becoming a Jezebel. Like, you have to consider that maybe your lead has to have something happen that's along those same lines.
She's like, no, I didn't agree to that in my contract, so we're going to keep me completely.
No body parts done.
Yeah. I'm not even saying that, but it's just like something. Is there anything in the chat you're like smirking over there?
No, I mean, everyone just saying, don't disrespect the Martha Mafia. Godspeed.
That was was fun to watch. I did last episode. I said I was looking forward to seeing how the workings of that, you know, of that organization, yes, of that underground of the Marthas, and we finally got to see some of it.
So, yeah, what did you guys feel in terms of the pen death? Because there was some talk online about, there's like, there's no way you could kill anyone with a pen. And I was like, I saw another 5-year-old when I was 5 stab a 5-year-old in the hand with a pencil. He's a bully. He probably, like, pushed
her too
far.
Did it go through?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Not all the way through, but it, like, punctured. And I was like, that was a pen, y'all. Or a pencil. Pencil, my dad.
Watching this scene, I wasn't completely convinced that Commander Winslow would have been like that week after those pins, because he has a pretty solid structure in the angles that she was stabbing him. I'm like, it's not like she stabbed him in the neck.
Right.
She stabbed him in the back. Right. And with that, I don't know. I wasn't convinced.
Well, stabbed him in between the ribs, though.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of times she stabbed him a lot of times. I agree. She should have. It would have been more believable if they did a neck or some type of artery. Yeah. But she just kept stabbing him, like, right here on the shoulder blade, on the sides.
On the
Yeah. I mean, if she would have just left like that and not hit him with the item in the hotel, I wouldn't have believed it. But I did also, and this was like years ago, maybe like 10 years ago, I was watching the news with my mom. People can die from being stabbed with pins. Like, if you find something sharp and stab people, it was on the news. I, like I said, it was like 10 years ago. I don't remember. But I definitely remember they reported, like, a woman stabbed a man 150 times with a pin, and he died. So, because he just bled out. So
I'm just saying, it happened kind of fast. With adrenaline pumping.
I was wondering that as well. Yeah, how realistic that was.
Fun fact, it takes only 15 pounds to break your collarbone. So if somebody's angry enough, 15 pounds to break your collarbone.
Huh.
So if someone's being attacked, self-defense class, if someone's attacking you, if you slam down hard enough on their collarbone, that's going to, like, incapacitate them. It only takes, like, the same amount of energy it takes to open a can of soda to rip off someone's ear. So we seem very strong and sturdy, but we are fleshy.
Yeah.
Just sacks of organs.
Yeah, I mean, she could have stabbed his kidney at some point.
And
that,
she
that
definitely
whole back,
stabbed
she
his
was...
lung because he was wheezing. So,
somebody said they think she got his heart. Crystal Evans said that. Candace H. said she might have punctured his lung.
That makes sense, yeah.
If you puncture a lung,
You better get to the hospital in 5 minutes or bloop.
But I wasn't convinced. I was just looking like, really? He's
I'm
that
with
weak?
You. Yeah. Because he was a very tall, muscular, like, you know, strong body.
Somebody is stabbing you, even with a pen, like 15 times.
But then couldn't you still have a little bit of energy to kind of get up and not overpower her? But he just kind of, like, went flop.
He did. Right. He was wheezing and he got up to try and get her, but by the time he got up, she had the staff or the statue,
whatever it was.
And so at that point,
nope, I'm not sold.
Well, I
don't
happy.
Believe it,
I was
it would only take
died.
One hit to snap his neck. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it just
well, she hit
like,
him on the head.
It was like
you mean the
when
she probably it was a temple
head.
Or like something.
She started bleeding instantly.
So,
yeah. It was the brain. Yeah,
I think. Well, that was more convincing to me, actually. Like him being passed
that's what
out
finished
after.
It yeah. off.
And the heel that was convincing to me when she got him with the heel. Oof.
Yeah. Anyways.
Sharp. Yeah, everyone knows a sharp stiletto will do damage.
R.I.P. Winslow.
I was just happy to see him go. Yeah. I was very happy he died and he's out the picture.
Yeah.
So
he was underdeveloped and we didn't get enough time to spend with him to figure out what was going on with him and his family. So that kind of was kind of frustrating, but at the same time, goodbye. Before we wrap up, let's go into a little bit with the Lawrences. So, who felt like Lawrence was just going to bail on them? I didn't necessarily feel that, but I don't know.
I did. I mean, I know after she saved his life, he was kind of, like, grateful. But I think he also was like, shoot, we're in really deep. Yeah. Like, I don't know what else to do. Like, you know, if people find out that his wife pulled a gun on him, she could be on the wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so he was just like, what is the best way I can save myself and my wife? So, yeah, I definitely thought he left. And I was just like, well, there goes your plan, June. And what new house are you going to get put in? That's what I was really thinking. I was like, now who house are you going to be put in? So I was so happy to see him return because I was like, girl.
With no power.
Yeah, but I was just like,
not by choice, right? I mean, he didn't return. He returned because he just couldn't get past the thing, right?
Yeah, he was a war
criminal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, because the actual commanders would not let him out. They changed all of the passes that would let him exit.
They he didn't have he wasn't authorized to go certain routes.
Mm-hmm. He couldn't get a mouse out, quote unquote. He did. But I was happy to see him return, but as you can see, he kind of ran out of options as well, too.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like, yo, I don't know what we're going to do. This is your options catalog. But I think at that point, he kind of gave up on himself.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I mean, it's kind of like it's over for them, really, unless June can pull off this thing with the bartender, which I think it is overzealous to try and get 52 children out in one fell swoop. Like,
I think so, too.
Go read a history. Well, I know you can't read, but, like, just go think about history, June. And think about how people have snuck people out. We have documentation of these types of things happening. So it's never just
you
like
if you aim for 52, you might realistically, I don't know, get halfway. Oh, or die. Maybe 15? It's all perspective.
15? 20?
She did.
Yeah. I guess if you aim for 5, then maybe you land at 2. But if you aim for 52, whatever is underneath that is a success. I don't know. That's one way of looking at it.
We'll see. All right, let's just go right into the Resist Sister of the Week.
It's the 80s or 90s. I don't know. 90s. Okay, it's the 90s. Okay, guys, let's give it up for Mary Ann Williamson.
I just laughed. She did a very good job on the debates last night, but she's, you know, she's interesting.
Well, she's my resist sister because of the attention she is getting for the debates. They're calling her, she's one of the, you know, Democratic candidates, one of the very many Democratic candidates. She was on the debate stage last night, and a lot of people, you know, there she is. Yep, there's my girl. I didn't know she existed, to be quite honest, before I saw her on CNN.
Oh, okay.
Because I follow certain people closely, and she was unfortunately not one of them. But now I'm looking at her. I'm not, you know, she's not going to sway me one way or the other. But it was interesting that people gravitated towards the way that she spoke, how she spoke, and what she spoke about.
She's an author.
Yeah, she's exactly. She's a self-help guru. She's a best-selling New York Times author. And her whole thing is about energy. And she's just really, really aware and intelligent. And she was the most searched lady debater in 49 states. So Google went crazy for this woman trying to find out more. And then I just kind of quickly want to just read a quote that kind of went viral that she said on the debate. So her whole thing is energy. And she says, if you think any of this wonkiness is going to deal with this dark psychic force of the collectivized hate that this president is bringing up in this country, then I'm afraid that the Democrats are going to see some very dark days. And people were just like, holy shit. I mean, it's a little bit depressing, but she got people kind of, you know, thinking and waking up at least enough to search her. So,
cool. Thank you. Mary Ann Williamson, look at you. Resisting.
Yeah.
Resisting. You're a little hippy dippy. Speaking of my truth. Case, but I think you're cool.
She stood out. Yeah.
She did.
Spoke her truth.
She does. All right. Let's go right into the news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so even though Matthew is dead, you can catch her on the CW's The 100. She actually has a main role in that series for this season, at least. So you should check it out. I saw a few episodes. Her character is very much like the same.
Was it
like,
similar character?
I mean, like, just the way she talks, like, I thought she would have changed up a little bit, but it's very, like, hello, Kelly, how are you? Like,
well,
I don't know.
Also in the first season of Kominsky Method, and she's in, like, all of the 50 Shades of Grey movies.
I mean, is her acting the same?
I don't know. I worked with Ashley in Chicago. We did a play a long time ago. Ashley Thorpe, who plays off Matthew. But it was so long. I'm sure she's changed.
But it was very similar. It definitely reminded me of her character of Matthew. Mm-hmm. Completely different storylines, though. Anyways, Bradley Whitford, a.k.a. Commander Lawrence, he got married July 17th. So congratulations to him. He married Amy Landecker, which is his former co-star on the show Transparent.
Mm-hmm. That is cute.
Congratulations.
That's
hopefully
a good
they're
one.
On their honeymoon.
Right.
And then last but not least, Mr. OT. Yes, he plays a character in a new Marvel film with Scarlett Johansson. Okay. And his character serves as a fixer for spies and KGB and other criminal masterminds. So check that out. That'll be coming soon. We don't have dates yet, but that'll be coming up soon.
And there's also been confirmed that there will be a season 4 of The Handmaid's Tale.
Hey. Yay! Well, we kind of already knew that, but
they're winning all these Emmys. They better keep it up.
All right. Well, awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you, News. Thank you, Resist Sister. It's been a good week. Well, I mean, for as much as it can be. Since 2016. all right, so with that said, let's just go into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Should I go? Sorry.
Okay, you go. I'll go first. So my predictions are that June is going to maintain this kind of not stable headspace, but how she portrayed herself at the end of the episode as far as like, oh, I'm actually making things happen. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's going to somehow help release most of these kids, if not all of them. But there is going to be some type of calamity or obstacles that she's going to face, but she's still going to at least take steps towards the goals that she have right now.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know. I don't see her getting 52 kids out. I want them to get out, but I just don't see it happening. I feel like that plan is going to maybe tank. I don't know. If they can pull it off, I'd love it. I feel like Serena, we're going to see her finally, like, turn on Fred for real, like confront him and be like, I did this to you because you didn't get me baby Nicole back. And we're gonna maybe see her confront baby Nicole's not daddy
Luke.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sorry. We're gonna see her and Nicole confront Luke because that's the whole reason why she went there. So that's what I think.
That's a good one, huh? Yeah. Okay.
I forgot about Luke.
I think June is going to be successful with her plan because Fred is done. He's out now. He's not ruling there. And then Winslow's dead. So I don't know how high up Lawrence is at this point, but the two people that were trying to shut him down are no longer an obstacle. And so I'm interested about how those politics are going to play out and what that means for, you know, everyone, really. For everyone, for the world. This transformed. Who's going to move up in power?
I think that Nick might return, but I think that Martha's in Chicago. The Martha's are probably going to, their plan's probably going to be the thing that kind of overrides everything else. And so if they can pull off their aspect of the plan, I don't necessarily think June's going to be successful, but whatever they have in store is probably going to cause a major upheaval because they've been planning it for a very long time.
Yeah.
As for Fred, tough shit.
Have fun in prison.
But I do think that he might have more information. He might be willing to sell it to them if they're willing to basically take Serena in. Like, I could see him being spiteful and being like, I'm not giving you anything unless you make Serena, like, my accomplice or something.
So, oh, wow.
Or being like, return her back or, you know, because he's a jerk. All right, that wraps up this episode of The Handmaid's Tale After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Miss Adrienne Snow. Veronica, where can they follow you?
Yep. Hey, guys, as always, on social media, at Veronica, the letter B, online.
You can follow me at Lauren the Truth.
You can follow me at chef_beans.
All right, guys. That wraps up this episode. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Next week. Same time. Same channel.
Would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.